Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This is the Alex Dano Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Oh, it is the Alex Dano Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, streaming online at WQAM.com. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, pound 560 on your cell, or you can text us at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line, but please don't text and drive. So today, you know, this was less than 24 hours after the indefinite suspension was announced for Lawrence Timmons. The Dolphins released that yesterday. So indefinite suspension, you know, that means that he could be suspended without pay for up to 4 weeks. And then once the 4 weeks are up, you have to figure out, okay, can he still play here? Can we still count on him? Can we still trust him to show up to games and not leave his teammates high and dry without telling anybody? Or at the end of the 4 weeks, or any time before that, obviously, they could decide to cut him loose and move on. I think that depends on two different things. I think it depends on where Lawrence Timmons goes from here, right? And Adam Gase has mentioned it. I've got two rules: play hard and show up on time. Timmons violated at least the second of those, right? Because I know that when he was in practice, training camp, leading up to week one, or week two, I guess you should say, for the Dolphins, they didn't have a week one. Timmons was a model citizen, right? Always on time for those periods, always playing hard in practice. Teammates were praising his leadership, what kind of a guy he was. But goes AWOL on Saturday, suddenly his reputation is in question. So he's got plenty of explaining to do, maybe plenty of apologizing to do, but it's hard to even say that. Look, it's hard to even say he's got apologizing to do. Like, you can assume that, but since we don't know what happened, we don't know the circumstances, it's hard for me to even use the word apology. Explanation maybe is the better word for that, but he has to make his coaches and teammates believe that we can trust him not to do that again, not to disappear again. So part of that is on Timmons. Part of that is on Timmons making everyone in Dolphin land believe that was a one-time thing. Don't judge me on what I did last Saturday. Judge me on the previous decade of my career where I started 101 consecutive games and I was never a problem. Like, judge me that way.
He misses Pittsburgh. That's what it is. He misses, like, the great state of Pittsburgh, or the great city of Pittsburgh.
I was about to say, the great state of Pittsburgh. Well, okay, and that was one of the first reports that came out. And this is all very muddy and convoluted. We don't know what's true and what's not true. But yeah, one of the first reports that came out was wanted to see his child, his daughter, you know, that he wanted to go back home to Pittsburgh. I mean, that to me, though, doesn't explain why you would try and get on that plane without telling anybody about it. That's the strange part. But, you know, not only does Timmons need to prove and make his coaches and teammates believe that you can trust me in the future, but also let's not turn a blind eye to this. The next 4 weeks are also about how the rest of the linebacker corps looks. Life without Lawrence Timmons. Because if Anthony, the new linebacker that the Dolphins brought in, former Clemson Tiger, former first-round draft pick, if he turns out to be a guy who can resurrect his career in Aqua and Orange, and if Mike Hall continues to step up and play well, Chase Allen, if Ray Maoluga can actually show up to a game healthy, not have hamstring issues, Kiko Alonso, if he can be consistent the way he was last year, if the linebacking core can survive and thrive without Lawrence Timmons, then that makes the decision to cut him loose a lot easier. Because winning football games also has a lot to do with this, right? The Dolphins being competitive. If linebacker is a huge problem for however many games Timmons misses up to the next 4 weeks, if the linebacker position is a glaring hole like Dolphin fans expect it might be, because you are very, very thin at linebacker, if linebacker is a problem, then you would think that would make the Dolphins more likely to forgive and forget and allow Lawrence Timmons to sort of take a second chance in aqua and orange, right? But if the linebacking core, by some miracle, actually thrives without Lawrence Timmons, thrives and survives the way that I put it, then if the Dolphins feel like, you know what, not only do we not think, are we not confident we can trust this guy, but we're actually doing pretty well without him, I think that makes the decision to move on a little bit easier. And Stephon Anthony was at the facility, did practice today. That's the new Dolphins linebacker. He's wearing the number 44, was in the locker room, very nice guy. I think he was very cheerful today. He's excited about the chance he's getting. He doesn't know if he's going to play this Sunday. Adam Gase doesn't know if he'll be ready to play this Sunday yet. So that may be a couple of weeks before Anthony knows the system well enough and is really ready to plug and play for the Dolphins. It could be another week or two for that. But he was in the facility. He was practicing today. And we talked about this last night. That was a steal of a trade to me, right? Because even if Stephon Anthony doesn't end up having a great season or a great Dolphin career, all you had to do was taking a flyer on a guy when you're desperate at linebacker to give up a fifth-round pick for a guy who was a first-round pick just 2 years ago and played on a team in college that damn near won a national championship that year. They destroyed my – also, you can thank Stephon Anthony for getting Al Golden fired, because Stephon Anthony was on that team that beat Miami 58-0. So send him a thank you card, right? So a great collegiate player, first-round draft pick, really struggled with some of the mental game in New Orleans. At least that's the way we understand it, right? That Sean Payton was not a big fan of his, because he would say that if we were going up against a running play, he would drop in a pass coverage. If it was a passing play, he would try and rush the passer. Like Sean Payton basically implying that he had trouble grasping that playbook. But maybe, just maybe, the Dolphins' defensive playbook will fit his style better. And maybe Matt Burke, the Dolphins' defensive coordinator, who's a former linebackers coach. So you would think Matt Burke can give the linebackers extra attention, can really speak his language, so to speak. Maybe the change of scenery, maybe coming over the Dolphins, it'll be a system that fits him better, a coaching staff that fits him better. He might be able to thrive in a Dolphin uniform a way that he did not thrive in a Saints uniform. But with all that said, like, Anthony did play pretty well in New Orleans his rookie year. 112 tackles, 70 solo tackles, a sack, an interception, playing inside linebacker. Those are not bad numbers at all, right? But then fell out of favor with Sean Payton and the coaching staff in the second year. Didn't play much in 2016. Hadn't played at all the first 2 weeks of this season. So that's what made him expendable in New Orleans. But also, to be fair, you're talking about a defensive system in New Orleans. That team is so bad defensively, I don't know what their system is. So maybe being in an actual system in Miami, he may be able to thrive there. But something else that a lot of people like this. Like when I was tweeting about this today, I was at the Adam Gase press conference in Davie, and when I wrote up a story about it for WQAM.com afterwards, and we posted it on social media and all that, I noticed that people really liked the fact that when Adam Gase addressed the media today, he mentioned multiple times when asked about Lawrence Timmons, what happened? Why did Timmons go AWOL? Why did he try to get on a plane to Pittsburgh? Why was he not there last weekend, hours before the game? Adam Gase said, guys, I got to keep this in-house. We're going to keep this in-house. We've handled it the way we thought we needed to handle it. We've suspended him indefinitely. I don't need to air. These are now my words, not his, but saying that, hey, I don't need to air his dirty laundry, bring up this personal stuff. Gase said repeatedly, We're handling this behind closed doors. We're keeping this behind closed doors. People love to hear that, right? I think it's nice that he's decided not to put Lawrence Timmons' issues on Front Street. I think there's plenty of compassion in that to say, you know what? This is something we can handle. We don't need the public to know what was going on. We don't need the public to know why he left us and didn't give us a phone call. That is something we can handle ourselves behind closed doors. People like to hear that. Because it does seem very Patriot-like, right? Handling things behind closed doors. It seems very Miami Heat-like, right? Not to air people's dirty laundry. Where Pat Riley will take the secret to his grave. Whatever happened with Gerald Green in that apartment lobby, whatever exactly happened that day, that is a secret that Pat Riley will take to his grave. People love to hear that. They love to hear that it's being handled behind closed doors. Why air the man's dirty laundry when there it was not a crime being committed? There's not a police report. There's no reason to take that public. People appreciate that about Adam Gase. Also, though, you know, I do think there's plenty of compassion in that, but there also could be medical laws that protect that because there's so much we don't know about what happened with Timmons because we really know nothing except for some rumors and some hearsay. What if there are questions of potential mental breakdown or mental illness? That becomes a mental health issue, right? So if there is any of that in at play here, it's very wise for Adam Gase not to air it publicly because we did hear that a day after the disappearance, or 2 days after the disappearance on Monday, that Lawrence Timmons had met with a doctor about what happened. We don't know if that was a psychiatrist or just a general care physician. We don't know what that was, but if there could be some kind of a medical or mental health issue at play, medical privacy laws become prevalent there. And so it's also wise for Adam Gase not to air his dirty laundry. Yeah, this was a hypothetical getting thrown around today in the media room. If you were to find out in a week or two, days, weeks, months, whatever, that there was a mental issue here, maybe you find out that, oh, by the way, Lawrence Timmons does have a condition. He is mentally ill. He has such and such condition. If you were to find that out days or weeks from now, would you look back and say, oh, the Dolphins weren't compassionate enough? Or maybe the media wasn't compassionate enough in the way we covered the story. Would you look at that and say, you know what? I completely understand now why Timmons did what he did. And shame on the people out there on the radio, on TV, in the organization who weren't sensitive enough. I don't know if you look back on it that way. I don't think you would, right? Because I think Adam Gase helped that cause today. I think he played it the right way by being as vague as possible and keeping it as private as possible. I think that you're going to look back on this if you do, and this is just me spitballing, this is me speculating. If you do find out sometime down the road that there's more to this story, that there were mental issues at play here, if you do find that out, I think you can look back on the way Gase and company handled this and say, you know what, they handled it with grace, they handled it with class, and they addressed it the right way. I can't speak for everybody who's covered it through the media because there's been a lot of rampant speculation. Oh, was this a drug issue? Was he partying? Was he flying to Vegas? There's been a lot of spitballing speculation going on. But I'd like to think that the people who were in positions of power have handled this story pretty responsibly. Because it could be anything, right? It literally could be anything. And with Adam Gase saying today that, hey, we're going to keep this behind closed doors, we may never know. We may never know exactly what happened. We may never know exactly why Lawrence Timmons left the team. Because what I still don't understand is, because I know that if a family issue comes up, right, if it's a question of a sick family member, a dying family member, a family member in crisis, I get it that a lot of things in life are more important than a football game. A lot of things in life. If there's some issue with your family, football takes a back seat to that immediately. I think fans forget sometimes that these players are human beings and they're not just pieces of meat who go out there for our enjoyment. There are plenty of issues in life that can come up that are more important than football. I understand that. What I don't understand is how that issue can create a situation where you want to leave and not tell anybody. That's the tougher thing. Because if you've got a legitimate pressing issue, a legitimate reason why you need to get the heck out of Los Angeles, you can't give somebody a phone call or a text. That's the part that's hard for me to understand. That's what makes me think there's more to this story than just a guy who was homesick or just a guy who wanted to see a family member. That's what makes me think there must have been some kind of a crisis, at least the way he interpreted it, for him to either forget or neglect to tell a coach about it. That's what makes me think there's more to this story than meets the eye. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Rick in Carroll City. What's up, Rick?
Hey, Donna. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. In terms of Mr. Timmons, it's very interesting that they found him at LAX early Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And it didn't take long to find him. When you make a decision and you're in your job capacity, the last 10 years you have followed a regimen. Every time there was a game, you followed a regimen, and you're there. Even when he was not healthy, he was still part of the team, still there. For you to make that decision and just go AWOL, it just leads you to believe that there's something that's terribly wrong.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the origin is, but there's something that is terribly wrong.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because I do want to add a little something to that conversation. That if there was something terribly wrong, all the evidence would tell me it wasn't football related, right? Because some people may speculate, oh, maybe he didn't like the Dolphins, maybe he wasn't getting along with his teammates. I have no evidence to believe that because. And listen, I know that sometimes people lie. Human beings lie plenty. But it seems like everybody was pretty sincere. In the 2 days when we've had locker room access this week on Monday and Wednesday, every player that we've spoken to has said, no, like he was fitting in great. We liked him. He enjoyed being here. He was practicing great, was practicing hard. A couple guys like Mike Pouncey even called him a leader. So it doesn't, just to add to what you're saying, if there was something terribly wrong in Lawrence Timmons' life, like this doesn't sound like a Jonathan Martin situation where he couldn't stand his teammates, he was having a terrible time. It doesn't sound like that because all indications are that that Lawrence Timmons was fitting in the locker room fine. So if there was something terribly wrong here, it was probably outside of football.
But unfortunately, the ramifications, when something like this takes place, the ramifications not just in dealing with your head coach and your position coach and your organization. But the most critical factor in this is the trust of the guy next to you, because your well-being is in that guy's hands, okay? That's just the way this sport works. And for someone to just disappear, I don't know how you can ever trust that teammate ever again.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Gase is torn, because whatever it is, it's obviously staying in-house. And, again, some of the most successful people in sport have always kept things in-house. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where the next couple of weeks takes us. For them to make a trade yesterday, you could call that an insurance policy.
Right. But something, and you brought up something that makes me think of another side note. Gase said today that the trade for Stephon Anthony, he claims that it was not a reaction to Timmons. This is actually something they've been working on for some time. They just happened to consummate it after Timmons. So I thought that was interesting.
It could be that they've been looking at it for a while and looking at Mal Luga, who's still not in shape, who's probably not going to be able to help you much at all. That could be another factor that leads into making that decision yesterday. Something that they could have had in the works for a while, but the latest issue makes it a critical area of concern. Because right now, and let's give those two kids credit. They played their butts off the other day, but you're not going to be able to go the next 15 weeks with them.
Yeah,
and be able to make stops against key personnel. I mean, you're talking about an old guy, and Antonio Gates. The two running backs for San Diego, they pretty much, they were making tackles on those guys.
Mm-hmm.
10, 15, 20-yard gains. And,
right.
I'm concerned, but at the same token, the approach that Tannenbaum has made since he got here was that he was going to upgrade the roster. And, you draft a kid who gets hurt. And Raekwon McMillan was supposed to come in and definitely contribute right away. And then you got a guy who says, I'm going to retire, who was barely a healthy year in his four-year career. So a lot of things have happened. So I think there is a lot of truth and validity to the fact that this trade has been, or maybe a couple of other trades they've been looking at, possibly the linebacker spot since Raekwon's injury.
Yeah.
Looking forward, Dono. It's Jet Week, regardless of yes. what the records are.
Hate those guys. I hate the stinking Jets.
Every true Dolphin fan despises them. So I'm looking forward to Cutler getting more comfortable, hopefully this week. I'm looking forward to a run game that's going to be dominant from beginning to end. And I'm looking forward to having another win. I think they have a great opportunity to go up to New York and establish the line of scrimmage and maintain it and do well.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate the call, man. Always love talking to you, Rick.
Take care, Donald.
You know, and it's funny because he brought up the running game. I saw a lot of people. Well, not a lot of people. I saw a handful of people. I don't want to exaggerate, but I saw a handful of people, Dolphin fans, on social media, like freaking out a little bit when they saw today's midweek injury report because Jay Ajayi didn't practice today and Mike Pouncey didn't practice today. Pouncey listed, you know, didn't practice today because of a hip. And I see people freaking out like, oh, is Ajayi hurt? Pouncey, is the hip re-injured? It's maintenance, my friends. Don't freak out about that. Do not freak out about Mike Pouncey or Jay Ajayi not practicing today or Jarvis Landry not practicing today. These are maintenance days, or in the case of Pouncey, Veterans Day off. He is going to be off at least one practice day every week, if not one to two practice days every week. And one of the other things that Coach Gase talked about today was how he's constantly amazed that Mike Pouncey is capable of going out there on game day and being so consistent and so physical despite missing so many practices, that that's a rare thing in this league, right? A very rare thing. Most players are not capable of playing hard if they aren't practicing hard and they're missing practices throughout the week. Mike Pouncey is one of those rare gamers that he can miss a practice or two a week and still go out there and crack skulls on a Sunday, figuratively speaking, of course. So Mike Pouncey, don't freak out. Whenever you see him not practicing because of a hip, you don't have to automatically freak out because he is going to miss a lot of practices. And Jay Ajayi, not as frequently, but he's going to get a maintenance day off every now and again when he's carrying 28 times for 122 yards. Barry Jackson did the math today, had the calculator out, that Jay Ajayi, based on week one, is on pace for 448 carries this year. I mean, I doubt that particular pace is going to continue because you would think at some point Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake are going to get a few carries. The two of them combined for one carry last week. The number's going to be a little bit different in coming weeks, but Barry writes that he's on pace for 448 carries. That's 126 more than the league-leading 322 carries for Ezekiel Elliott last season. It's also far more than the 260 carries Jay Ajayi had last year. So I doubt he's going to finish the year with 448 carries. We'll take more of your Dolphins calls and texts. Plus, Hurricanes football is back this weekend. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on WQAM.
Listen to him.
Take some phone calls here in a moment. Also, read your text messages. 56022 is how you get at us on the plumbers911.com text line. But don't text and drive. But if you'd like to call in, 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Some of the texts that have come in. New linebacker, starter or depth? He had impressive combine numbers, text writes. Ooh, I need to look at those. I mean, obviously, I would have assumed that Stephon Anthony had impressive combine numbers because to be a first-round pick, he was the 31st overall pick in 15. So you would figure he not only has to be a good college player as he was at Clemson. I can remember, before the Miami-Clemson game in 15, that was the year that Clemson just embarrassed the Canes 58-0, got Al Golden fired. So maybe you can thank Stephon Anthony for that. But Stephon Anthony was really one of the players we focused on that defense. Very good college player. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's not surprising to see he was impressive at the combine because you have to not only be a good college player, but good in the combine to be a first-round draft pick. But to answer your question, starter or depth, I think the sky's the limit. I think he has a chance to be a starter. Open opportunity, sure, right? Because outside of Kiko Alonso, starting spots are open. When Mike Hall and Chase Allen are the other two starters, absolutely, Stephon Anthony has the opportunity to be a starter, as does Ray Mauluga, as does the other two names I mentioned, as does Neville Hewitt, if he can get healthy again. I think starting positions in that linebacking core are wide open, so he's absolutely got a chance for that. Did Timmons get suspended for the reasons that he went AWOL or the fact that he did go AWOL and did not say anything? Text your ass. I think both. I mean, I think, and also, like, to go AWOL, it has to be not telling anybody. So, no, I think not telling anybody was probably the greater sin there. Dono, how many players have come to the Dolphins and resurrected their career? He's asking about Stephon Anthony, because I mentioned that had kind of fallen into Sean Payton's doghouse in New Orleans. Sean Payton, I don't think, regarded him as being a very intelligent player when it came to learning the defense and learning the system. So I think a change of scenery could potentially do him wonders, because you know this is a very capable player. Athletically, Stephon Anthony is capable of being a great linebacker. Maybe it was some of the mental stuff holding him back. But as far as players resurrecting their careers with the Dolphins, I'm sure Texters can help with that. But recent examples, I think it's fair to say that that Kiko Alonso is on his way to that. Kiko Alonso had his best season last year after being much maligned in Philadelphia. And I think you're hoping Jay Cutler can be the next guy to resurrect his career in a Dolphin uniform. And maybe Stephon Anthony ends up being that guy as well. On Lawrence Timmons, Rafa in Miami writes, maybe it's as simple as he just had some bad sushi, just saying. Ah, so you're poking fun at me. So, yesterday was my birthday, and part of my birthday celebration, all on my lonesome, because I was on my way to work yesterday, stopped at a sushi place that I enjoy, go there about once a week, had some sashimi, was not good. Place that usually does a great job with the raw fish. The sashimi I had yesterday, I ate all of it, which is probably a bad idea, did not taste fresh, very disappointed. So I had assumed that that was probably the same fish that they've had frozen since before Hurricane Irma, right? Like maybe they've not restocked since then, because usually the fish there is pretty fresh. And people on Twitter kept telling me, oh, Dono, you probably have a parasite now. You're going to get sick. You're going to get food poisoning. I'm fine, bitches. I feel great. I got a strong stomach. Don't underestimate me. I can't speak for whether or not I have a parasite, but I never got the food poisoning. It's been over 24 hours. The food poisoning has not set in yet, so I think I'm still okay. But yeah, maybe Lawrence Timmons went AWOL because he had some bad sushi. Had to run back home to Pittsburgh. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Gordon in Miami. What's up, Gordo?
And with this linebacker talk, dude. I mean, geez. I mean, listen,
story's not dying. The story's dying hard.
We're never going to know. Just like we're never going to know why LeBron left. We never going to know why LeBron left?
Ooh. Not exactly. No, I've got my suspicions.
I'd rather know about why LeBron left than why this guy left, who I don't even care about.
You're right about that. I would love to know why LeBron left.
We're never going to know the biggest unknown in the history of South Florida sports is why LeBron left. We're never going to know. It's never going to come out. And it kills. You want to talk about something that kills you? It's why this guy left. Why he left.
I hope Pat Riley writes a tell-all book, and that's a big chapter in there.
I
would love Pat's side of it.
I don't know if he's going to want to. I mean, one of his failures is letting the best player in the league leave his team.
I want to know Pat's perspective on it because, like, okay, if LeBron writes a book, I'm sure LeBron will write it all about him. It's going to be selfish. He'll probably gloss over that. I want to see the Pat Riley tell-all as to the situation leading up to LeBron's departure. I want to hear that from Pat's side.
I mean, like, the last thing I want to know about is why this linebacker left. I just don't care. I mean, you guys are sitting there bogged down of it. We're 1-0. We got a winnable game against the Jets.
Yep.
Let's focus on listen, we're 1-0. I know it's early. I know I'm getting too excited. We're 1-0. We got a really bad team we're playing on Sunday.
Thankfully, because we'll be 2-0 in a few days.
We have a chance to go 2-0. I think what the focus needs to be is, will they allow this guy to throw the football down the field? Listen, I'm getting tired of watching. Listen, it leads to wins for the Patriots and stuff like that, but I'm getting so tired of these 5-yard, passes. I mean, this guy's got a rifle, apparently. I know he's 4 months from being retired, but mm-hmm. I mean, air it out. I mean, a little bit. I mean, how about a play-action fake bomb? I mean, you've got a running back that can freeze these linebackers. You've got arguably a top 3 or 4 running back in the NFL. Use them. to set up the pass. I mean, why are we not passing the ball down the field?
And I think they will, Gordo, because I think they will, because I've seen enough of that happen in practice to think that like throwing it downfield is something that they do focus on. And I'm hoping that's the case, because I think that what was going on in the first half of that Charger game was, it's our first game of the season. Everybody's right. A little rusty. We're going to button it up. We're going to be conservative. They open it up a little bit in the second half. I think they're going to open it up more throughout the year.
I would say this about the Dolphins and resurrecting careers. It's probably the other way around. The Dolphins have a history of getting players at the tail end of their career.
Yeah.
Thinking that they have a chance.
Yeah, think about like Joey Porter and Brandon Marshall. Yeah.
Chris Carter. I mean, the list goes on of guys like Junior Seau. I mean, guys who just.
Dante Culpepper.
I mean, the list goes on. How about all those? Remember all those first round picks we got in the last year that Shula, you know, we had 25 first round picks and like we just couldn't do anything? I mean, you want to talk about resurrecting careers? I think the one that hits to me is Irving Fryer. Remember?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I mean, Irving Fryer, maybe a Keith Jackson. I mean, guys like that. I mean, but you cannot tell me a guy in the last 10 years in the Dolphins where we resurrected a career. I mean, maybe Chad Pennington that one season. Outside of that, I mean, what have we done?
Yeah, it's usually Dolphin players going to the Patriots, and the Patriots resurrect careers.
Yeah, I mean, like, what do you want? Like, Tony Martin, we got him. We had him early. He stunk with us. Then we brought him back. He still couldn't catch a football. I mean, the list goes on of Dolphin players that just, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we got Bobby Humphrey. There was another one. We got him from Denver. Stunk. You know, guy, like, we have just flopped on so many guys just because of the names. We get all excited, but they're over the hill.
Mike Wallace.
We haven't resurrected anybody's career. I mean, you want to talk about a franchise that resurrected careers, just talk to the Heat.
You're right about that. Bingo. That is the franchise that resurrects careers.
You can count on one hand how many players we've resurrected with the Dolphins. One hand. There's probably five players in the last 15 years, maybe 20 years, where we resurrected someone's career. That's how bad we are.
The truth hurts. I'm depressed now.
And yet we're 1-0 and we're poised.
Right. I appreciate the call, Gordo.
Stop talking about this linebacker and talk about the team on the field. I'm tired of it.
All right. Your mouth to God's ears, my friend.
Talk about that hockey player, Brett Hull. Mike Hull, what's his name?
Mike Hull. No relation to Brett Hull. Or maybe he is. I don't know. I should ask him that. I should ask him if he's related to Brett Hull. Oh, man. Let's talk to Jerry in Sarasota. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, what's up? We resurrected Wes Welker's career by trading him to the Patriots.
Exactly. The Patriots. They're the ones. They take the Wes Welkers and the Heath Evans. They take the Dolphins scrap metal and turn them into Lamborghinis. But you know what? I'm hoping, though, that with Adam Gase now that changes for the Dolphins, because Kiko Alonso, in the process of resurrecting his career, I think Jay Cutler is about to resurrect his career. The jury is still out on Byron Maxwell. I wish he could get his head out of his you-know-what. But I think we are seeing some evidence of Adam Gase resurrecting careers.
It's reminiscent to me of the movie We Are Marshall.
You know, I never saw it.
I know the
plane crash, but I never saw the movie.
In practice, one of the coaches said to Matthew McConaughey, when they're trying to put this team together, they said, our offensive line looks atrocious in practice. And Matthew McConaughey said, yeah, and I don't think it's because our defensive line is so spectacular. And that's what I think about when I think about this linebacker that we traded for from New Orleans. I mean, this guy wasn't exactly on a stellar world-beating defense that he couldn't make it on. I mean, this is probably one of the worst defenses in NFL history that this guy got traded from.
That's true. So that's very true.
And
the Dolphins' defense isn't great, but he goes from worst in history to below average.
Right. And you know what? I mean, we're talking about linebackers. I called to find out if anybody knew what happened to Timmons. And the reason we're concerned about linebackers, yeah, on paper, we're better than the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a game of matchups, and you got Bilal Powell and Matt Forte out there, the Jets, that are going to be going against these linebackers that we got. And, I mean, just those matchups, that, you know, we're a better overall team than the Jets. But that's a scary matchup when you got Bilal Powell and Matt Forte going against these linebackers.
That's a good point.
You know, like our previous caller said, against the hockey player and who knows who else. So I think that's why our concern is about the linebackers. And so far as us not going deep, we weren't going deep against the Chargers because they had Melvin Ingram on one side.
Right.
And
that's
Bosa
right.
on the other.
Yeah, right. And they were able to keep Bosa in check. No sacks for Bosa. And Ingram did have one sack, but the O-line did a nice job with those guys. But you're right. They were dealing with that threat of the pass rush. Had to have a quick release all night.
And that's why we kept them in check. I mean, it wasn't because our offensive line was so spectacular.
Right.
We're, you know, three-step drop and getting the ball out of there. You know, which is a good thing. You got Cutler that has the release in order to kind of check the other team's pass rush. You know,
I love it.
I'm looking forward to it. I think we're looking good. You know what I mean? We do look on paper a lot better than the Jets, and we need to get out to an early lead.
Yeah.
And shut them down early. But that matchup again with our linebackers against those running backs coming out of the backfield is a concern.
Damn right. I appreciate the call, Jerry.
All right. Thank you.
And, of course, everybody on paper looks better than the Jets is the thing. So the Dolphins should be 2-0 this week. Take some more calls. We'll wrap up the 8 o'clock hour. At 9 o'clock, we'll have some audio from Adam Gase. You'll hear from the head coach. But we'll wrap up this hour with your calls and texts next here on WQAM.
Sawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on South Florida's sports leader. 25 years and counting.
Miami Sports Radio, WQAM.
Now, usually I don't do this, but go ahead on, break them off with a little.
How about this? So I'm doing a radio show here in Miami. Sports radio show. We've got missing linebackers. We've got a college football team that hasn't played in 3 weeks. They're going to take the field this weekend. Got plenty going on down here. And I get this text from the Cleveland troll, Jamba. Alex, could you please talk about how awesome the Cleveland Indians are? No! No, I cannot, and I will not. Why don't you listen to the Baskin and Phelps show on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland? Why don't you listen to... I've got their lineup up here. Why don't you listen to the Nick Wilson experiment? He's on till midnight tonight. He'll take your dumbass Cleveland calls for the next 4 hours. 3 hours. I can't do math. You want me to talk? Yeah, it's a great way to keep the ratings up. Guys, I know that I'm on for another hour here. I'm with you till 10 o'clock. I'm just going to put the South Florida football on the back burner for a second. Why don't we take some Cleveland Indians calls for the next hour? Yeah, the Indians are really good. Fine. The Indians will probably have a historic regular season and not win a World Series because that's what Cleveland does. But yeah, the Indians are awesome. Thanks for bringing that up. Oh, resurrecting careers, though. This is a great example. Now, he was pretty young when he came here still, but as the texter points out at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line, Cameron Wake was in the CFL before he got here, and Brent Grimes did go to the Pro Bowl in Miami. Yeah, listen, because Grimes had his couple years in Miami were better than the previous couple years in Atlanta, and of course, Cameron Wake, you know, it's harder to say they resurrected his career because he hadn't been, you know, an NFL player before that, but you did take a guy who was very good in college, playing football in Canada. Dolphins picked up Cam Wake, and this was well before Adam Gase got here, of course. That was during, what, the Parcells era. They go out and find Cameron Wake, and he ends up being, I think it's safe for me to say, one of the better or best players in the history of this franchise. Cam Wake is awesome. You know, I know obviously Cameron Wake wasn't a member of a Super Bowl winning team, probably will not be, but Cameron Wake is one of the better players, at least this era of Dolphin football, right? I'm not going to go all the way back to the Super Bowl winning teams of the 70s and the Marino teams. But for this era, Cameron Wake has been one of the best, most consistent Miami Dolphin players. So yeah, Cameron Wake, I think that's a great example of resurrecting careers. No question about it. Oh, how about this? Texter writes in, speaking of UM not playing for 3 weeks, it's been 3,016 days since UM has beaten the Florida State Seminoles. Oh, I hate that running countdown, man. Pisses me off so much. But the truth hurts. Truth hurts, my friends, and we have to wait a few extra weeks. Have to wait until October 7th to see that matchup. You're going to see James Blackman for the first time this week, starting for the Noles. True freshman James Blackman, as the Seminoles will take on NC State this week. Miami takes on Toledo this week. I like what Manny Diaz, defensive coordinator, said yesterday. No excuses. We have to be in midseason form. Because, okay, the last time Miami played, Bethune-Cookman, September 2nd, cupcake opponent, a game that it was virtually impossible for you to lose, given the difference in pedigree of players and athletes, right? Like, Miami could afford to play sloppy and still win that game, but the defense did look a little bit sloppy, a little bit lackadaisical, also very vanilla, right? I think part of the reason why the Canes didn't have 18 tackles for a loss against Bethune-Cookman was because Manny Diaz said, you know what, in a game like this, I don't need to put too much on film here. Like, I don't need to, because remember, at the time, you thought you were 2 weeks away from playing Florida State. So I don't want to put too much on film against Bethune-Cookman. We're going to play a lot of base defense. No crazy exotic blitzes this week. Conservative. We'll save our best stuff. We'll save our better stuff for Arkansas State. That game was canceled. And we'll save our best stuff for Florida State. That game postponed until October 7th. But still, you know, Dee Delaney did not look great in the defensive secondary. And this was a guy who, I'm still holding out hope that Dee Delaney is an excellent player. We got this one friend of ours, chronic listener, Charles, who he is the Rudy of Miami football. But he's very critical of this Dee Delaney. Like, he's very concerned. Like, don't write Dee Delaney off after one sloppy game in the defensive secondary, because he was dominant in fall camp. Right? Dee Delaney, the transfer out of the Citadel, you know, who could have been drafted last year, but decided he wanted to be a graduate transfer at a big-time program, came to Miami, dominated fall camp, played a little bit lazy, lackadaisical against Bethune-Cookman. I still hold out hope that he can be a very good player this year. I do. I still hold out hope for that. But you've certainly, defensively especially, you got to be better than you were against Bethune-Cookman. That's why Manny Diaz said, no excuses. We've got to be in midseason form this week. No excuses. Because you're going up against the quarterback. Now, the good news about Toledo is they cannot stop anybody. They gave up 51 points to Tulsa last week, which makes me think Mark Walton can run wild on them. Amon Richards, who's going to be back this week, can probably put up 150 receiving yards, make big things happen, because Toledo's defense is not good. But offensively, they can put up yards, they can put up points. Their quarterback, Logan Woodside, remember that name, because I think he is going to make some plays this week. Hate to say it. Hopefully he gets sacked a lot. But he put up 458 passing yards, 6 touchdown passes against Tulsa last week. That team can sling it. That team can score. They put up, I think, like 600, nearly 700 yards of total offense against Tulsa. They're not going to do that against Miami. They're not. But Bethune-Cookman put up 350 total yards against you a few weeks ago. So you've got to be much better than you were against Toledo. 56022 is how you reach us on the plumbers911.com text line. Please don't text and drive. If you'd like to get in via the phone lines, 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560. Also, we're hearing not only from the Cleveland troll, but from the FIU troll. The FIU troll is very mad at the University of Miami that they didn't allow players to leave the state and evacuate. You know, I know that some players, I guess, were advised to stay close, but if you think it was hypocritical that they canceled the game against Arkansas State, they were giving these players and coaches a chance to be with and near their families, which was very important. Because there are some players on this team who actually have children of their own, Mark Walton being one of them. He's got a 7-month-old daughter. You don't think he wanted to be near his daughter? You don't think these guys wanted to be near their parents and grandparents, helping put shutters up, helping clean up the neighborhoods? Yeah, I know some of you out there just like to unconditionally bash the U, but they're not an evil empire. Let me say that. They do have people's safety and best interests in mind. 9 o'clock hour coming up. We'll hear from Adam Gase. We'll hear from Jay Cutler this hour. You're listening to the Alex Dono Show here on Miami.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.